you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the Passion of Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. We're glad you're here today, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for being here. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, 877-711-5211. On the email, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. 20 after the hour, what's toxic and what's not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Would you swim in an urban river? One of the very famous is Boston's Charles River. It apparently is becoming the model. And also one of the other stories Dr. Ginsberg will talk about is iodine and IQ. There's new evidence that a little salt can go a long way. So that'll be 20 after the hour, what's toxic and what's not. At 35 past the hour, it's Straight Talks in the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike. And what are you two talking about today?
We're going to talk about three things, but the first is there's a new breast implant that's available that changes everything, at least Dr. Perry believes. What do I mean by changes everything? Well, it's so different. It's from one of Johnson & Johnson's subsidiaries, but he thinks it's a form gel breast implant. He thinks it's a total game changer. We'll find out why. The second thing is five tips to decrease your chance of a complication following surgery, any type of surgery, Dr. Perry's five tips. And the third is a new FDA-approved skin prep in a cloth, what you can do about it, how to get it so that you will have a reduced infection rate postoperatively. Really quite interesting and dramatic.
Straight Talk from the Docs, Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 past the hour. And Dr. Michael, try to fit a real age tip in, too, in this hour. We talked with an orthopedic surgeon about ACL injuries, and he does a lot of reconstructive surgery with ACLs and knee problems. And Dr. Mike, you said your son played soccer, right? And he had a few knee issues of his own?
Right. He was All-State in Illinois in soccer. So I've got to say, and that's from a Division III team to make All-State on the first team. He was absolutely a great player. But when he, and in fact, he used to practice in the off-season in a closed soccer, I guess it's 5-on-5, and indoor soccer in the summer or the winter. I can't remember which. But it was a very tough league. And so he was really good, and even on those dirt floors, no problem.
Wow!
But he went to play in St. Louis in medical school. When he was in medical school, he's now a physician. But when he was in his MD, PhD years, he would play on a field that wasn't as well manicured and put his foot in a hole one day, and that was his AC, his medial meniscus on one side, and then he did his medial meniscus on the other side. So when he came back after he rehabbed, he played a little while and was gluttony enough for punishment on that same field that he did it again.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. As a soccer player, did he head the ball a lot?
He actually, he did head it a fair bit, so you worry about concussions. But, in fact, the best score I ever saw him do, which was something called a jackknife or something crazy, but it's kicking the ball over your head behind you into the goal.
Yeah.
And he scored a key goal in that in one of the state championships. So I still remember that. You know, we didn't back in that era, we didn't have pictures.
No, right. Didn't have, but that's quite a move.
You had pictures, but you didn't have the iPhone picture. So couldn't get, you know, unless you were absolutely ready for something like that, you couldn't get it.
You never know. They also say now excessively heading the ball can change the white matter of the brain, and players who head the ball a lot also face a higher risk of developing thinking and memory problems. So that's a problem, too, by heading the ball in soccer.
It definitely is, and, the Cleveland Clinic has this large study in both boxers and football players out in and what's it called, Ultimate Fighting or some crazy sport like that.
UFC.
Out in Las Vegas. So we are the certifying agency, if you will, and they get MRIs before they start in, before they get their Nevada licenses to either box or do UFL. So we'll have a bunch of studies on what helps, what hurts, and ways to prevent it that'll come out pretty soon. So we'll know a little more about whether there's some medicines you can take, whether there's food supplements you take, such as DHA, which is suspected in high doses of helping prevent. DHA is the coating around white matter, and so it's one of the things that's suspected if you get 900 milligrams of DHA. It's a three-letter word. It's the active component of fish oil for the brain. In the brain, it is the coating around your nerves in the white matter. It's what gives the white matter its white sense. So 60% of that coating is DHA. And so it's suspected that if you get enough DHA, which you can get from salmon or ocean trout, as well as from DHA from algae or from fish, the fish get it from the algae, so that's where I get mine from. It's important for us as we get older. It helps us maintain memory. Well documented in some large randomized controlled trials, but it appears that it may also be helpful for the average soccer player or football player in preventing injuries. So things like that will be tested.
Now, you, when you lived here, I'm sure you've seen some lacrosse, right? Syracuse University.
I used to play lacrosse.
Yeah, I was watching the national championship game about a month ago, Syracuse Duke. And that ball, that lacrosse ball, that's like a rock, right? That thing is, that's hard as a rock.
But you have a helmet on, right?
Yeah. But, you know, the goalie, I mean, he doesn't have very much protection. He must have welts like nobody's business. One of the Syracuse lacrosse players took a shot dead on, point blank, and it hit the goalie's knee. The ball hit the goalie's knee, and Duke's goalie, and the ball flew in the air. 50 yards.
No, I saw that. That was amazing.
Oh, I said, oh, that has to be painful. Oh.
Well, don't they have a knee protector on?
Didn't look like he had one on, but I mean, can you imagine the welts goalies have to have that ball as hard as it is?
No. I used to, when I was in high school, I played goalie.
Yeah.
And then when I went to college, I switched. I was smart enough. I wasn't big enough to play goalie in college, but I switched to a feeding attackman, you know, one of the behind-the-net guys.
Okay.
And we had the best guy in the world to feed. He was named Mike Anison, who set the record in the North-South game, scoring 13 goals. So it just shows you how incompetent I was as a feeder that he would score 13 goals when he really got someone who could feed him the ball.
You got to be crazy to be a lacrosse goalie, I got to tell you. Before we go to the break, let's talk about a tick. This is an interesting story. Tick that spreads red meat allergies. How is that
happening?
Isn't
this wonderful? I mean, the funny thing is, it's a tick that has a protein and a glucose. It's called alpha-gal, and it spreads. Somehow it causes you to have an allergy, a cross allergy, to the alpha-gal in red meat, pork, this kind of thing, processed meats, that cause you serious GI upsets 3 to 6 hours later. Mm. So you have red meat and you have this upset. You can develop hives. No one's died from it yet. And some people get rid of it. Some don't. But obviously it discourages you from having red meat. So there is a positive to this. That's a joke, Joe. But in any case, it's getting, there are 2,000 cases in West Virginia. It moves wherever ticks are. So the Northeast, which is, of course, the headquarters of deer ticks, it rides on deers and dogs and may cause injury to the dog. So when you give red meat to the dog, they get the same problem.
Oh, well, that's not good either.
And they can't obviously express it to you other than whining and having pain. But it is getting more common, and this deer tick is getting whatever the specific. It's a Lone Star deer tick. It has a white, if you will, star or spot on its back.
Well, it's a very strange story, so be careful. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic, what's not, next. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Okay, what's toxic, what's not should be coming up with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He checks in at this time during the show. He's pretty punctual, pretty reliable. We'll bring him on when we reach him, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Check his website out, whatstoxic.com. You can do that anytime. He doesn't have to be around. Dr. Mike Ockeng, you can, till Dr. Ginsberg gets here, you can talk a little bit about the connection between iodine and IQ.
Well, this was a study done in Great Britain, and it really was amazing because you wouldn't expect a developed country to have decreased IQ because of lack of iodine. But it was published in the May 22nd Lancet that even women who had just a mild iodine deficiency were more likely to give birth to babies with lower verbal IQ scores as well as lower reading ability than women who got enough. And believe it or not, this was a huge problem in Great Britain. The incidence was, if you will, in the 1,040 pregnant women from southwest England, iodine deficiency was found in an amazing number. It was over 50% had deficiency, and when it got to be a little worse than just a regular deficiency, they had an IQ in the lowest verbal quartile at age 8 when they were tested. That is, of all the kids in Great Britain, those with the ones who had mothers with a lower deficiency level, that is only a level that in fact more than, I think it was 50% of the women had in the study. They had an IQ, they were 60% more likely to have an IQ, and the average for all these women who had iodine deficiency was children had 8 IQ points lower than the average IQ for the people who had normal iodine levels. It doesn't take much. So it's one of the few reasons to say, okay, I should get salt, iodinized salt. So specifically get iodinized salt during your pregnancy. Where can you get it? Well, you can get it from a number of places. There are a number of foods with it. But obviously, kelp from the sea has some, as does a lot of the foods we eat. But Gary Ginsberg's now here, so we should bring in the expert on this.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Mike. And one of the main places that pregnant women should turn for iodine supplementation at this critical period of brain development is through vitamins and prenatal vitamins that are specifically supplemented with iodide, which many are not. So that's what you want to look for on the label to make sure that your baby's brain development is sufficient to get into Harvard or to do whatever he wants or she wants to do in terms of their intellect. And it is surprising how little iodide does get consumed by the general public. This study out of England, which is not the kind of part of the world where we expect iodine insufficiency, found two-thirds of the women that were, out of 1,000 women, two-thirds of them were in the mild to moderate iodine deficiency category. So your average diet is no longer, can be assumed to be iodine sufficient.
So there really is a reason to have pickles. The pickles have salt with iodine on them.
Yeah. Well, that's one source, and of course, iodized salt. And we've been given so many messages about cutting down on salt consumption, and those are good messages. But especially during this critical prenatal period, it's the prenatal vitamins with iodine are important. And the other thing that it brings up is cigarette smoke, because there's a natural anti-thyroid chemical in cigarette smoke called thiocyanate, which does block iodine from doing its job. Perchlorate is an environmental chemical which could be in some parts of the country in the drinking water, and that does block iodine from doing its job. And if that's happening during pregnancy, that could certainly end up hurting the IQ and the baby's brain development.
Now, what else you'd like on the list, Mike, from Dr. Ginsberg here?
About swimming in the Charles.
It is turning into swimming season, although it's been all chilly up here in the Northeast. And, yeah, this was a surprise to me. I always think of, you know, Pete Seeger and the Hudson River and places like that that are still too contaminated. You wouldn't want to dip your big toe in those kinds of water bodies that have historically received a lot of sewage outfalls, industrial releases and discharges into rivers. And so you'd say, no, I don't want to. Maybe I'll fish out of it and throw it back, but I'm not gonna do much with it. Well, there has been, since the Clean Water Act passed in 1972, it's taken some 30 or so years, but rivers have gotten a lot cleaner, to the point now where there's actual swimming meets, swimming events in places like the Hudson River, like the Potomac River in Washington, like the Charles River, which is becoming habitat for swimmers and triathlons and things like that. So it shows, and you know, this is one of the examples I like to use, that sometimes you know, government regulation does make a huge difference in environmental quality. And this is a great example of that. Without the Clean Water Act, without requiring discharging companies and discharging sewage systems to really have the proper controls, rivers would still be cesspools. So it's that kind of regulation across us a little bit more in some of the products we buy, perhaps. But it, you know, the environmental quality of places where you can actually think about swimming. And with climate change and extra hot weather, we're going to need more places to cool off. And, you know, this is where the masses live, is in places surrounding things like the Charles River. And by the way, the Charles won a very prestigious International Rivers Award in 2011 for the dramatic improvement of the river there. So I think it's a trend that can continue to happen. But again, well, one of the other things I did want to say is all the pharmaceutical concerns from sewage discharges, that probably the best time to swim in some places like this is under high flow conditions where the amount of fresh water relative to the amount of recycled water in these rivers is best. So, you know, the best time to do this is probably late spring into early summer. Or in a river like the Charles, which gets a lot of natural influx, it may not be so bad. But in a place that has drought conditions, the rivers may be a higher percentage of sewage rather than natural water, and there it may not always be such a great idea. So you always want to check the local authorities, the water quality, and before you dip your toe in.
Now, when it gets hot here in Syracuse, a lot of kids go down to the city square and swim in the fountain. And the cops are, I mean,
well,
the city's, it's terrible. It's not treated.
Just bubbling up out of, you know, the pump keeps recirculating it. And it's probably chlorinated water if it's city water, so it probably at least doesn't have a lot of bacteria in it.
Well, no, I guess they're telling these kids not to go in these things. You know, babies go in, and they're telling everybody the water isn't treated. So I'm saying
it's not treated.
It's just coming out of these spigots, these water fountains, and kids go in there. So that can't be, you know, and the cops try to keep them out of there. But it can't be, you know, and the bums go in there and urinate in there, too. So it can't be too good, Gary.
No, I would say not. Keep your baby out of that.
Yep. Gary Ginsberg, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic? And what's not? He's got a great website. You should check that out too. Hey, listen, if you miss a segment, you'd like to hear a segment back, a guest, a topic, some of the regulars we have on, our guests, Dr. Ginsberg, Dr. Perry. There's never a way you ever miss a show. If you're away from home and you're on vacation or not able to get to the show, when you listen to it on your favorite radio station all across America, there's always RadioMD.com. Where all the shows are archived, and you can pick a date, you can, you know, search for topics and whatnot, and you can listen to what you missed on RadioMD.com. All right, and to reach Dr. Perry, Dr. Mike today, it's 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on RadioMD. Stay well.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We have a great segment for you, Arthur Perry, in the You Beauty segment. Arthur, now, there are five tips you have for reducing the complications that your patients have after surgery, not just yours, any patient, any surgery. These are five tips you found if you were a patient, right?
Absolutely. You know, Mike, I suffer if my patients have a complication just like they suffer. And a lot of people think that surgeons are arrogant and they're detached, but you know, we do not want complications, believe me, as much as you don't want them as a patient. So when I operate on my patients, I try to set them up not to have problems. Now, of course, there's a lot that I have to do with it, but there are some things that you as a patient can do. So I've collected five of my top tips. And Mike, the first one that people forget is to stop the aspirin that you tell people to take for so long. You tell people to take aspirin for how many things? List a couple of the things that it's good for, Mike.
Preventing colon cancer, preventing esophageal cancer, preventing breast cancer, preventing prostate cancer, decreasing stroke rate, decreasing heart attack rate.
It's all great stuff. But if you take aspirin and go into the operating room and have almost any procedure that involves
that's not
lifting.
True. It's only with surgery, with things where a little bleeding is damaging, such as the eye or plastic. In fact, it decreases complication rates because it decreases clots in the legs in immobilization. So it's often given post-orthopedic surgery, and we give it through the course of cardiac surgery.
Right. Well, that's true. Good point. But if you're having a big procedure like a breast reconstruction or a facelift or a tummy tuck or something like that, and you take aspirin, you set yourself up for bleeding, and it can be a disaster. So aspirin gets stopped a week before surgery. That's number one, Mike.
Okay.
Number two, and I sent you some information, relatively new data, chlorhexidine. That is a substance that kills bacteria on the surface of your skin. We figured out how to do it. It's been done with Hibi Cleanse showers for 20-something years, and it did not seem to make a difference. But people at Hopkins actually figured out how to do it right. And it's not so much a shower, but it's these washcloths that are impregnated with chlorhexidine, and that is an antibacterial. And you do it, take a shower and wash your body then, and leave the residue on your skin the night before surgery, and then do it again the morning of surgery. Significant decrease in bacteria and significant decrease in infection rate. Quite dramatic, actually, and this has been published over the last few years. So chlorhexidine washcloths. There's actually a company, Mike. So if your doctor doesn't prescribe these, I have no interest in this particular company, but it's called Sage, S-A-G-E. And you can go on, doctor doesn't prescribe these things, just do it yourself. You can buy them. They're $8. That's it. And what a huge difference.
Where do you get them?
Well, there's a website, Sage, I think it's like Sage Pharmaceuticals. If you put in sage.com, I think that's the website, you can purchase those, and they have a consumer site. So, you know, I give these to my patients because I really want my patients to use them, but we all have to protect ourselves. So if your doctor doesn't do it, do it. There are no risks to doing this. There's no downside unless you are allergic to chlorhexidine, and not many people really are. Now, corollary to that.
Now wait a second. Couldn't you just take the shower?
It doesn't do it because what happens
is
because the residue needs to stay on the skin. When you take a Hibi Cleanse shower, you do knock down the bacteria somewhat.
So what you got to do is wash with this cloth after you've taken a shower, not in the shower. That's the point I wanted to bring up.
That's correct, and leave the residue on your skin. That was the big difference. And at Johns Hopkins, they did the study.
So use the cloth after you've taken your shower or bath the night before, or in that morning, do it and then leave the residue on, for Pete's sakes.
Correct. So two times at once, Mike. The night before, take the shower, and then wipe your body down with this residue, and then do it again the morning of surgery. It's called the nose to toes. You don't want to get it in your mouth, in your nose, or in your vagina, or in your anus, but everywhere else, between your toes, yes. And then the company is also actually partnered with 3M that makes Betadine, and they have these little kits, and you take the Betadine and you put it, get ready for this, on these Q-tips in your nose to knock off the supply of what's called methicillin-resistant staph. They live in your nose. So that's why they call it the nose-to-toes system. So a little Betadine in your nose within 8 hours of surgery, and then it is those cloths that I told you about. So that's number two, and that's a real big one, Mike, because if we can decrease the infection rate from 3% to 1%, which is what the studies have shown, that's enormous.
Number three.
For God's sake, stop smoking at least a week before surgery. Because if you are actively smoking at the time of surgery, all sorts of complications rise. Infection rate goes up. Even bleeding rate goes up. And with those big procedures that I told you about where we lift large areas of skin, smokers actually can lose pieces of skin. It dies. It dies. Facelifts, tummy tucks, breast lifts. So stop smoking. Now you're going to say
do you
stop
operate
smoking
on
completely.
We have a lot of surgeons who won't operate on anyone who's a smoker. Do you?
It depends on what operation I'm doing. So I'll do eyelids on a smoker, but I will not do a facelift, a tummy tuck, a breast reduction, or breast lift. Those are the procedures that are enormously high risk. In fact, at the Manhattan Eye and Ear Institute about 15 years ago, the risk was assessed at 20 times higher risk if you're a smoker. 20 times higher. It's amazing.
That's a pretty high rate.
So, so that's number three. We have time for four?
Go to four.
Four. Walk into the operating room. Don't let them take you on a stretcher. Walk in. You know, Mike, when people go into the hospital for surgery, they get on that stretcher about 2 hours before surgery and they lie there. And you know, and I know, that it's the period of inactivity that increases the chance of a blood clot in the leg. And the time clock starts ticking as soon as you get in that bed and stop moving around.
Sonar, if you're giving me a clue to go to a break, I can't hear it. Okay. Arthur, sorry, go ahead. Lying on the,
all right, so,
I apologize.
All right, so start that time clock as late as possible, meaning walk into the operating room. Walk into the, and the corollary to that one also is even though you don't want to get up after surgery, who does? Because you're sometimes in pain and sometimes sedated. Program your brain before surgery to tell yourself, get up out of the bed as soon as you can, an hour or so after surgery if you can. Don't wait around. You know, the nurses are more than happy, unfortunately, in my hospital, to let you stay in the bed. Get up out of bed. I bet you at the Cleveland Clinic they get them up.
Oh, yeah,
right?
that night and walk them. A lot of walking.
Very important. All right, we have time for number five before the break.
If you can do it in 60 seconds.
It's a quickie. You'll love it. See your internist before your surgical procedure, even if your surgeon does not care whether you do or not. Do it, because they're going to be looking for different things than your surgeon looks at. Always a great idea. See your internist, even if your doctor doesn't make you. So that's my five, Mike.
And when we come back, we'll go to more of the tips from Dr. Perry on the YouBeauty.com segment of You, the Owner's Manual, You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Thanks for great engineering. I apologize for interrupting. We'll be right back with another wonderful segment. Thanks.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
if any
yourself familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Now, Arthur, I understand you were someplace special yesterday. In fact, taking more training and a new course.
Well, sort of, Mike, but, you know, I want to talk about this, but I have to tell you, I found the website for those products because I think it's important. And again, I have absolutely no interest, financial interest in this, in the sageproducts.com. Sageproducts.com. Can I give out the 800 number? It's a free commercial for them, Mike.
Sure, I suppose.
Why not? 800-323-2220. Because I do think it's so important. These are great products. And once again, I have absolutely no financial interest in the company. But all right. So yesterday, by midnight, I certified in a new breast implant. And I did that online, actually. We can do that online. But what it is the Mentor Corporation, which is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, just got their FDA approval for the long-awaited formed implant, breast implant. So some people call these things the gummy bear implants or the form-shape implants. It is absolutely a new generation of breast implants. And a lot of people make fun of things like breast implants. And you know, there's images of people like Pamela Anderson and just giant breasts. It's not about that, Mike. This is actually very important. It's important for a few different reasons. It's important for women who have breast cancer and need breast reconstruction. And it's also important for the psychological well-being of women. And that can't be understated. There's a huge societal pressure on women.
Do you mean that can't be overstated?
What did I say?
Understated? That can't be understated.
Keep me honest, please. Yes, that's right.
So what you're saying is this is really important for their psychological well-being.
And anyone who has a daughter who is flat-chested and has been berated by girls and boys, understands what I'm talking about. It's not about, you know, having enormous breasts. It's just looking normal. That's what everybody wants to be. They want to be normal. So this is a new generation of breast implants, and it started last year with a company called Sientra, and then Allergan, the Botox people, came in with their implant a few months ago, and now the third and the final company in the United States got their FDA approval. These implants do something very different than the old implants. So they started in 1962 with these bags of this gel, this goo, Mike. I don't know if you've ever seen these breast implants if they break. It's like caulk, you know, the caulk that you use around your windows to seal them. It's pretty disgusting stuff. And when that stuff gets out of the implant, it your body sees it as foreign, and it makes all sorts of scar, and it makes nodules, and it makes for a very unpleasant experience for the woman and the doctor. But in the United States, we only had those implants, and then we had saline implants, which are saltwater implants, and they feel exactly like a water balloon. You know, so they don't feel normal, and they don't look normal. So now these new implants are a different type of silicone gel. And the chemistry is not real important for listeners. But the important thing is that even if there's a rupture of the implant, even if they break, the goo does not escape the implant. It stays put.
How can that be if it breaks?
And that's very important.
How can that be if it breaks?
Well, because they can actually fracture. And think of it as a gummy bear. I know you like those candies, Mike. You can't tell us you don't. Those gummy bears, you know. if you take a gummy bear in your hand.
It's much more solid is what you're saying. There are gummy bear. We use gummy bear, if you will, vitamins for some of the pregnant women who we know it's important to get prenatal vitamins, and some of them don't like the pills, so we get them gummy bear vitamins, so I know what a gummy bear is.
Yep, and you know, and they can actually fracture, and these implants can fracture, but the rate of that fracture is actually pretty low. It's 2.6%, and that's estimated over about 10 years, as opposed to 10% for the older implants. So it's a much, much lower chance of rupture. And when they do rupture, the goo doesn't travel. And there's pictures on their websites, and we know plastic surgeons that have purposely cut these things and hung them up in their office to see what's going to happen. You know, so 7 months later, the goo just stays put. It doesn't go anywhere, which is really very, very good. So one of the great advantages is that. But Mike, the game changer with these implants is that these new implants create a shape for the breast. And that's very important because the old implants did not do that. They simply took the shape of whatever your breast was. So if you had a droopy breast, the implants would droop. If you had a misshapen or deformed breast, they would just simply fill the space that you have. These new implants are a totally different concept because they have the shape and your breast follows the shape of the implant. That's an enormous change in the way we think about breasts.
So,
all right, so that's why I'm excited about it.
And when will you be able to start putting them in, so to speak? Are they available?
Well, I became certified the very first day.
They'll
be on the market real soon. Well, I've been using the Sientra ones for the last year, the first company, but I'm anxious to use the Johnson & Johnson brand because I do like that company.
Well, when we come back, we're going to go right to a Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is how to ease panic attack symptoms. If you're no stranger to sweaty palms, frantic thoughts, a racing heart, and other signs of a looming panic attack, this could keep you cool as a cucumber. Physical activity. That's right. Just plain old physical activity can dial down your reaction enough to keep little blips of anxiety, like when you can't find your car in a humongous parking lot or your car keys like I can't find periodically, from snowballing into something bigger and scarier. And remember, all those adolescents who get panic attacks from losing their cell phone, this is useful for them too, and for your kids if they're one of them. Turns out that regular activity, like a brisk half-hour walk you take every day, right, helps you stay calm when you feel early signs of big trouble. And by the way, you're not alone. Nearly 10% of adults will deal with panic at some time in his or her lifetime. This is the latest addition to ways being active improves emotional as well as your physical health. It's already eases depression, reduces anxiety, relieves stress. Whether you're seeing a therapist to deal with panic or trying to cope with a mild case on your own, turns out that exercise is a great add-on. Just 30 minutes of movement decreases stress hormones with increases in feel-good brain chemicals. Your mind quiets down and you can focus on key things, like solving whatever triggered that uh-oh feeling in the first place. And that's the real age tip of the week. Physical activity makes you 8 to 9 years younger if you do the full and right amount. Thanks, Sonar, for great engineering. Arthur, for being the wonderful guest, as well as Gary Ginsberg, our special guest, Dr. Karis Ng, and Dr. Davis. Thanks very much. We'll be right back next week.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.